So a couple weeks back, I asked you for what the best compliment you ever got was. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't. Everybody should understand my wife wasn't paying attention.
No,
I'm just kidding. Okay, now I have to clarify. That's because she takes care of a table with kids in the background. Today, and let's stay with nothing that's too cruel, okay? What is the best insult you've ever heard? What's the best insult you've ever heard? Can you think of one? You can think of one? Is it one you can repeat on the air? No? Can't be too cruel.
Well, I wouldn't want... Yeah, no.
But you don't have to mention the person.
No.
Okay. Well, for me, the one that comes to mind is one that is perhaps incorrectly attributed to Winston Churchill. Now, per quote investigator, Consuelo Vanderbilt Balson had this in his autobiography. Ready? It was therefore unfortunate that on one of Lady Astor's visits to Blenheim, when my son was host, Winston should have chosen to appear. The expected result of their encounter was not long in coming. After a heated argument on some trivial matter, Nancy, with a fervor whose sincerity could not be doubted, shouted, "If I were your wife, I would put poison in your coffee." Whereupon Winston, with equal heat and sincerity, answered, "And if I were your husband, I would drink it." Now, as a minister, I do not encourage you to respond to insult with insult, but I got to admit, I thought that was pretty funny. And I also think there is a good chance Churchill never said it. People can actually trace the form of the joke to significantly before he is supposedly to have said it and zinged poor Lady Astor, although I guess she had it coming in some respects. But, you know, Christendom itself is not without some pretty sharp insults. For instance, Martin Luther, as in the Lutheran Church, had quite a barbed tongue. Against the Roman papacy, he reportedly said, "You think like this, as I am a crude," and then the A word with two more letters, "and do not read the books, so there is no one in the world who reads them. Rather, when I let my braying hee-haw, hee-haw resound, or even let out a donkey's passing gas word, then everyone will have to consider it pure truth." You shouldn't be giggling about that. Now, between you and me, if you are going to fail to be Christ-like with your tongue, I would rather have you fail like my Churchill example than my Luther one. The papacy is false and worth being called out. But let's not forget what Jude, the brother of Christ, tells us. And we'll do that by looking at Jude 8 through 10. So Jude 8 through 10. "Yet in like manner these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively." If the archangel Michael was wise enough to hold his tongue, against the devil, who is unquestionably extremely evil, then we should similarly hold our tongues against those who wrong us or God, because that's often the excuse. We won't stand up for ourselves. Well, if we're standing up for God, we can do whatever we want. No, we should hold our tongues. The sad thing is, we have a president who either does not know or does not follow that advice. Back on June 29th, he tweeted these two tweets in succession. They're really one thought, but in two parts. Part one, I heard poorly rated at Morning Joe speaks badly of me, don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika along with Psycho Joe came, next tweet, to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me. She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no. Did you guys hear about those tweets?
Yeah.
Did the world freak out?
Yeah.
Of course, the people didn't care much about Crazy Joe, but they freaked out about low IQ Crazy Mika in Trump's discussion of the facelift. And I would say, in fairness to Trump, Mika and Joe had been no more kind to him, but I grew up in a world, and I suspect everybody here has, because we're either old enough or we teach our own children this, but we grew up in a world where we were taught two wrongs don't make a right. Not to mention, I wasn't saved then, but now that I am saved, I have the Bible tell me this. And let's turn together. Romans 12, 14 through 18. Romans 12, 14 through 18. So, two wrongs don't make a right. In Romans 12, 14 through 18 says this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Let's focus on this next verse. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Or more succinctly from Peter in 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil for evil, or, listen to this, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. In my opinion, Mika and Joe have often wronged President Trump. But his behavior in return is beneath the presidency. And more importantly, as a Christian, because he does say he's a Christian, doesn't he?
Yes.
As a Christian, it is beneath the name of Christ. And that's what we as Christians should focus on too. However, Trump's questionable behavior itself wasn't what inspired this sermon. Instead, it was an article someone I follow tweeted after it. In, quote, this is the name of the article, in, quote, outrage, and outrage was in all caps, outrage, Trump's disgraceful lack of character can't be ignored any longer. Peter Heck insisted the following must happen, and I'm just taking portions. Number one, religious conservatives who have backed the president and willfully tied the name of Christ to his presidency must disavow these types. Well, actually, he says type. There's an error on his part, I think. These type of juvenile taunts and personal attacks. That was number one. Number two, someone in the White House needs to get the president off Twitter. And then number three, Americans left and right, need to reevaluate what is most important to us when it comes to the leaders we choose. So that's the three things he said that we should do. My response to that tweet, or well, to the tweet about his article, it is interesting how pieces like this establish minimum decency responses, implying that if you don't do what they say, you are a bad person. And I have to admit that since the first day of Trump's candidacy, I have felt that way. People who basically say, if you have any decency, you'll react a certain way to Trump's latest misbehavior and Trump himself. That if you don't do what they dictate, you are a bad person. I was and am a Trump supporter in that I was ultimately given a choice between an equal opportunity jerk, which is how I describe, I have good things to say about him too, but when he misbehaves, I call him an equal opportunity jerk. I had a choice between that and a woman who would eviscerate our ability to worship our Lord in our day-to-day lives, and who considers snuffing out the lives of unborn children no big deal, plus other beliefs and attributes I personally find untenable. Trump was far from my top choice, but none of the candidates were perfect, especially the final two real ones. I know you could argue that I could have voted for Jill something or other. And then there was the guy from Utah who they tried to throw in to mess with Trump's votes. But the fact is, we only had two candidates, and we had to make a choice. And I've been a supporter of Trump because of that. And now I support Trump because what's my alternative again? If they succeed in taking him out, how does that work out well for Christians? Not very, does it? So, since I am a, according from the article, religious conservative who backed Trump, is heck right that I, quote, must disavow these type of juvenile taunts and personal attacks? Is he right? Obviously. I have no problem doing so based on what I've just said about Trump. Did I say what he did was wrong? Yeah. I have no problem based on what I've already preached today. But should people judge you and me if we do not react to someone else's sins the way yet another person establishes them? Should we be judged if we don't react the way they think we should react to somebody else's sins? The scripture that jumped out to me when it comes to that question is Romans 14:4. So you may have your Bibles already open to Romans. Let's look at Romans 14, verse 4. Romans 14:4. And again, I apologize. I should have warned you that we were going to stay in Romans at least one more time instead of forcing you to go back there. Romans 14:4. Are we there? Almost?
Yes, we are.
Here we go. Romans 14:4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And we will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. I want to repeat that again, because I think this is important. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Those words, I'll be up front, those words are in a different context than dealing with America's abhorrent politics. But the principle remains. The principle remains. Who is heck to judge you and me on whether we publicly condemn Trump or not? Or to employ a pun, who the heck is heck to judge you and me on how we confront wrongdoing? It is true. We should never defend anyone's misbehavior. And we do see that often with Trump. People basically saying, oh, they deserve it or whatever. We as Christians should never defend anyone's misbehavior. Or as Isaiah says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. We should not defend anyone's misbehavior. But through the 66 books of the Bible, I see no biblical requirement for us to condemn every sin we see committed. I'll say that again. I've been through the Bible multiple times. I'm doing it again this year. And I have seen no biblical requirement for us to condemn every sin we see committed. Our calling is far beyond being full-time church ladies. Do you know which church lady I'm referring to? The Saturday Night Live one? Remember that? Oh, you haven't seen, you're too young. Michelle knows. That was funny, right? What's the guy's name who does the church lady? Dana Carvey? Yeah, so look up Dana Carvey, church lady. But that's not our job. We are not called to be full-time church ladies. Not to mention, considering how mass media and social media bring so much sin before our eyes, we'd have no time to do anything else. Absolutely no time. If we're going to call out every sin that we see, we'd have no time to do anything else. Feed the hungry? No time for that. Trump just insulted somebody else. Visit the sick? Maybe once I get done condemning Obama's latest misdeed. Comfort the brokenhearted? Did you hear what CNN just did? I need to contact all their advertisers and drive them off the air. In the end, beloved, I was going to say brothers and sisters. I can see you are a brother. Brothers and sisters, we will not be judged on how often and how effectively we condemned the sins of others. Instead, and let's turn to Matthew 25. We're going to look at verses 31 through 40. When we get to the end, we are not going to be judged on how well we called out sin, or how often, or how snarky we were, or how funny we were, or how biting we were. Instead, we're about to read how we will be judged. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, when you did it to one of the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me." We'll stop there. But if you read on about the goats, they are condemned because, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." That's Matthew 25:45 in part. We'll also stop the sermon here. And we'll continue, "Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another?" Part 2, next week. Between now and then, I'd like you to remember three things. Kids, you paying attention too? I want you to remember three things. Maxwell, are you paying attention? Good. Do not repay evil for evil, insult for insult. Got that? So, Damien, if somebody insults you, do you insult them back? No. Yeah. And that includes your brother. Especially your brother. Number two, although you should never call evil good, that's important, you should never call evil good, the Bible does not call us to condemn every sin we see. We'll spend a little time talking about that next week. When Jesus, number three, when Jesus separates the sheep, wait, right hand, from the goats, left hand, the sheep are not considered blessed because of their ability to point out wrongdoing wherever they saw it. That's not why they're considered blessed. And finally, in preparation for next week, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus on how to behave. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Per Matthew 5:17. He is the fulfillment. So if you think about it, fulfilling all those rules, he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That is, look to Jesus for how to behave. He is our example of how to deal righteously in every situation. How to react if we are insulted. How we should call out sin. And what we should focus our hearts on. Look to Jesus.